This morning, I want to speak to moms and dads, and what a wonderful privilege, yet great responsibility God has given to all the moms and to all the dads. The office of mom and dad was established by God in Genesis chapter 4. You remember in the first couple chapters of Genesis, chapter 1, and then refers to it again in chapter 2, God made or created Adam and Eve. Created Adam out of the dust of the ground. He made Eve out of a bone and flesh from Adam. But the two of them became the first dad and the first mom when Cain was born. And when Cain was born, there was an eternal truth stated by Eve that if you don't read the Bible closely, you might miss it. But she said when Cain, her first child, was born, I have gotten a man from the Lord. I have gotten a man from the Lord. And I would remind you this morning that every child is a gift from God. And I don't have time to chase it this morning, but that's why abortion is so wrong. It's a sin. Every child is a gift from God. They come from Him and belong to Him. And moms and dads are entrusted by God to care and to nurture and to protect and rear His children for them. That sacred trust demands some things from moms and demands some things from dads. And this morning, in a real simple way, I want to mention five of those things. I tried to make it easy for you to remember. I started all the words with the letter D. And these are five things, and I'm sure there's others that you might add, but five things as I thought about what being a dad's all about and tried to put myself in the place of a mom and tried to think what being a mom was all about. There are five things that we not only owe our children, but we owe God, because they really belong to Him. The first one is deliberation. Deliberation. Moms and dads need to deliberate or think upon or meditate upon the task that God has entrusted them with. David wrote in Psalm 119, I thought on my ways and turned my feet unto thy testimonies. David, the king, said, I thought about what I had to do. And I thought about all that God has called me to do. And as I thought on those things, or as I deliberated on those things, my feet turned to the Word of God. My feet turned to the Bible. And as we think about the task that God has given us to do as moms and dads, the same thing ought to be true of us. As we think about that sacred trust and we deliberate on it, we ought to run to the Word of God and find out what God wants us to be as a mom and what God wants us to be as a dad. Because you see, God never asks us to do anything without telling us how to do it. He never asks us to do anything at all on this world without giving us instruction, without giving us what we need in order to accomplish that task. So many parents have plunged into having children, and they've ignored the instruction book, they've ignored the owner's manual, they've ignored the book that comes from God that tells us what He wants us to be. I would point out to you this morning that fatherhood is important to God. It's how one of the ways that He revealed Himself to us. I think one of the sweetest ways. Yes, He is the Creator. Yes, He is all supreme. Yes, He holds, He made everything that we see around it. And the Bible says in the book of Colossians that it's only sustained or held together by Him. And we read a lot of different ways that God has told us about Himself in this book. But one of the sweetest ways that He's revealed Himself to us is by calling Himself our Father. Our Father. And all the things that should conjure up in our mind as we think about the things that our fathers have done for us and the way they've loved us and the way they've cared for us. God says, I'm your Father. I'm your Father. So fatherhood is important to Him. So is motherhood. Christ and Christianity exalts motherhood above all the other types of religions in the world. Mothers have a higher place in Christianity than they do in any other. And Christianity is not a religion, but I'll just put it in, I'll just call everything else a religion. Than any other scheme in the world, Christianity exalts mothers more than any other one. Jesus entered our humanity through a human mother, and in that special way sanctified the office of motherhood. To be a mother is to hold the reins of a nation. A mother's hand is more mightier than a king's scepter. And there's no higher office, no higher office than that of being mother. The most precious thing that God has laid in the arms of parents are our children. And we need to remember that we are responsible to Him for what kind of dad and what kind of mother we are. We need to think about it. We need to consider it. We need to deliberate on that responsibility. And as we think about it, and as we deliberate about it, and as we meditate on it, it ought to drive us back to this book. Because there's no other book in the whole world that tells us what God wants us to be as a mom, tells us what God wants us to be as a dad, than this book right here. Bible says about Joseph, the husband of Mary, when finding out that she was pregnant, and this was before they came together as husband and wife, and the Bible came to, or the, an angel came to Joseph and said, Joseph, this child that Mary carries is from God. It's from Him. The Bible says he thought on those things. He deliberated on those things. And then the Bible says he went out and did what was right. He took her to be his wife and was that earthly father that God intended him to be to the little boy, Jesus. But every day, Joseph knew that that child was not his. It belonged to God. And every mother and every dad ought to remember every day that that child is not yours. It belongs to God. He has entrusted you with them to rear and to nurture, to protect, to provide for Him. So, deliberate. Number two is the word diligence. God has instructed moms and dads what to be diligent about. In Deuteronomy chapter 6, the Bible says, and these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou settest in thine house, and when thou walkest in thy way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. God told Moses, says, this is how I want you to rear your children. I want you to teach them the word of God. And too many parents give diligence to a lot of other things that don't amount to a hill of beans, and they ignore the thing that God told us to be diligent about, the Bible. In the book of Proverbs, Solomon wrote, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. And the way he should go in that verse is not the ways of the world. The way he should go in that verse is the ways of God depicted in this book. Paul wrote in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 4, and ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Just like a child needs a nutritious diet every single day, so every child needs to be taught by mom and by dad the precepts and the concepts that are in this book. Line upon line, precept upon precept, teaching them what God wants them to know. And he gives us in this book his ways and what he wants them to know. And we need to be diligent in our teaching. It's not just a Sunday thing. It's not just a Wednesday night thing. You can't delegate that to a Christian school. You can't delegate that to a church, to a Sunday school. Moms and dads need to be the one that are opening that book and they're teaching their children and be diligent about it. That means that you're as diligent. No parent here would be so undiligent not to make sure that their little child got something to eat every day. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Not a mom here that wouldn't ensure that. Not a dad here that wouldn't ensure that. God says, I want you, you need to be diligent in feeding them, but you also need to be diligent in teaching them that book. So we need to be diligent. Number three, I'm glad all the kids are gone. Because my third word is discipline. Discipline. Somebody asked a farmer one day how he was able to raise such beautiful sheep. And he replied, I take care of the lambs. I take care of the lambs. Every shepherd realizes that if the lambs are to turn into the kind of sheep that the shepherd desires, then certain discipline procedures need to be followed. Again, we need to come back to the Word of God. We need to come back and do what the Bible says. Because the world says something different. The world says, well, we ought to let every child determine what how they want to act. And we ought to let every child determine every choice they make. There ought to be no constraint. There ought to be no restraint. Just let them do whatever they want to do. And corporal punishment doesn't have a place in that kind of philosophy. That's what the world says today. In fact, I've heard of cases of little children calling the authorities and reporting their parents because they spanked them. Man, if my kid ever did it, I'd kill him. I'm kidding. I'm glad they didn't have that system when my kids were little because they got it. And by the way, I'm for spanking your children right. Amen. These parents that lose control and spank their children uncontrollable are not right. And your pastor would never preach something like that or promote something like that. But discipline is needed in our world today. One of the reasons we have such an unthankful, unruly, out of control world is because moms and dads didn't do their job and apply the right kind of discipline. The Bible says in the book of Proverbs, chasten thy son while there is hope, and let not thy soul spare for his crying. See, the wise man said, look, when your kid needs it, give it to him. And when they start crying, don't spare. I mean, kids from back in Bible days knew if they started crying, they could get to mom and dad and lessen the punishment. That's why you need to decide how many swats they're going to get before you start. They'll start crying after the first one. Say, oh, he's learned his lesson. He don't need any more. Man, has he got you figured out. And God is our example. He's our example. It says in the book of Hebrews, my son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? One of the ways God expresses his love to us as his children is he spanks us when we get off course. One of the ways he tells us that he loves us is he sends chastisement. And again, he does it because he loves us. He does it because he wants us to turn out right. And that's the same reason that our children need to have this discipline in their lives. And when we deprive them of this discipline, we are doing them a great harm, not only for today, but for some of them for all eternity. Because if we don't teach them there's a penalty for disobedience, how are they going to learn there's a penalty for sin? If we don't teach them there's a price to pay when they disobey dad and they disobey mom, how are they going to learn there's a price to pay when they disobey God? Someone said if more of our boys wore stripes while children, fewer of them would be wearing stripes after they got to be men. Theodore Roosevelt said, if you are going to do anything permanent for the average man, you must begin before he is a man. The chance of success is with you, is working more with you when you work with the boy and not the man. And one of the ways we express our love to our children, one of the things that our children are looking for from us, and they may not say it with their words, but they'll say it in their actions. They want somebody to love them enough, to care for them enough, to punish them when they step outside the lines. They won't say it, but that's what every child wants. Somebody to love them enough that when they step out of bounds, there's a penalty. There's a price to pay. The fourth D is demeanor. Paul's instruction to Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 12, applies just as much to parents as it did to Timothy, where he wrote, "Be thou an example of the believer in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity." In fact, our children will talk as we talk. They will walk where we walk, and they will act as we act. They will follow our example. Bible says in the book of Ezekiel, "As is the mother, so is her daughter." Says in the book of 2 Chronicles, "He also walked in the ways of the house of Ahab, for his mother was his counselor to do wickedly." The power of example is powerful. You say, "Well, preacher, my children don't follow my example." I would tell you to look closer, because they do, and usually they do it with less constraint than mom and dad does. One of our ladies last night, we were talking at the mother-daughter banquet about things that moms passed on to their children. One of them said, "My mom always told me that I was going to have a child just like me, but it's going to be 10 times worse. They do it with less constraint. So our demeanor is important. And then last, number 5, our direction. Our direction. In Proverbs chapter 16, verse 9, the Bible says, "The Lord directeth his steps." Talking about what God does for us as man. And I would point out to you, the Lord never forces us to go anywhere. But he does provide direction. Same thing is true when it comes to our children. After a certain age, you can't force them to do anything, but you can provide direction. And so I ask you this morning, where are you directing your children? Are you directing them to God or away from God? Are you directing them to the Bible or away from the Bible? Are you directing them to church or away from church? We love our children. We love our children. But every parent needs to realize that every child born is born with a sin nature. They got that from their dads. And I'm not saying that just because it's Mother's Day. The Bible says, "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned." Adam sinned. He ate the fruit that God told him not to eat. And when Adam did that, he passed to each of his descendants a sinful nature. And one day, each of us, except for the very smallest of the ones that are here this morning, each of us came to a situation where we had to make a decision. Here was the right decision, here was the wrong decision. And our sinful nature reared up its ugly head, and we chose wrong. We chose sin. That sin that we chose turned our sinful nature and not only made us a person with a sinful nature, but made us a sinner. That's why the Bible says there's none righteous, no, not one, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Bible says there's a penalty for that sin, for the wages of sin is death. Not physical death, but spiritual death, being separated from God. When Adam and Eve sinned in the Garden of Eden, they lived physically for years after that, but they died spiritually because God kicked them out of the garden. They can no longer fellowship together. But the good news of the Bible, and what, where we ought to direct our children, we ought to make sure that they're presented with this, with these facts. We ought to make sure that they are presented with the good news of that book. The good news of the Bible is that for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son to take upon Himself the sins of us all. When Jesus hung on the cross, God the Father took all of my sins and He took all of your sins and He put them on His Son. And there was a period of time on the cross when God the Father turned His back on His only Son. And Jesus cried out during that time. I think it was the 3 hours of darkness. But Jesus cried out during that time, "My God, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" And during that time, our Savior paid the price for our sin, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And every mom and every dad ought to tell their little boy and their little girl and their toddlers and their grade schoolers and their teenagers and their adult children that there is a God in heaven who loves them so much that He sent His Son to die in their place. And if they'll ask Him, He'll save them. He'll save them. I can't think of a better day than Mother's Day for anybody here that's never done that, never asked Jesus to be their Savior, to come and do it. The Bible says now is the accepted time. Today is the day of salvation. And if you're here today and you've never asked Jesus to be your Savior, all you need to do is say, "Hey, God, I know I'm a sinner. I mean, I know there's times in my life that I've chosen wrong. And I believe that old preacher when he says that there's a penalty, and it comes right from this book. It's not mine, it's God's. The wages of sin is death. And I believe this book when it says that God sent His Son to die in my place. I believe that. And today I want to ask Him to save me. I want to ask Him to be my Savior." Do you need to do that this morning? If you've never done it, then you need to do it. Today's the day. Would you do it? Again, I'm not asking you to become a Baptist. I'm not asking you to join this church. I am asking you to join the family of God. The Bible says in John 1:12, "But as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe in His name." And so if you're here and you've never asked Jesus to be your Savior, would you do it this morning? Would you? You could do it right where you're sat. Simply pray and say, "Jesus, I'm a sinner. I need a Savior. Please save me." Or you could come and I'll have somebody take the Bible and again show you from the Bible the things I've talked about and pray with you. Would you? Let's bow our heads. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Father, thank You for today. Thank You for the simplicity of the gospel. And I pray, Father, if there's somebody here this morning that doesn't know Jesus Christ as their Savior, that right now where they sit, they'll pray that prayer and they'll ask Jesus to save them. Man, woman, boy, girl, Father, You know our hearts. And so I pray, Holy Spirit, that You would speak to us and You would draw us to the Savior this morning. And every single person that's here that doesn't know Christ will come and ask Jesus to save them. Bless this time of invitation. For it's in His name we pray. Amen.